Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, June 21st, 2024. All right, and today we're reading from, in the Big Book, There's a Solution. We are on page 26, the fourth paragraph, starting with, But this man still lives, and it's ending with, To maintain a certain simple attitude. All right, today's readers, we have Jenny C. for the steps, the traditions, Tens and P's going to take care of, Katie G. is going to start us off with the text, page 164, Loretta H., our backup reader is Lynn S., newcomer greeter Susan S. H., second hour host is Jeannie B., and Kathy S. is going to take care of announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, June 20th, 2024, to 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,504. That's 21,504. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,505. 21,505. All right, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks, Joni. Next up is Tens and P with the traditions.
Thank you very much. Tens and P checking in from New York, and here are our beautiful 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Okay.
We can't hear you, Russ.
We're good. We got it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery describing the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes so we could allow as many people as possible to share. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. And this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in There's a Solution. We are on page 26, the fourth paragraph, starting with, "But this man still lives," and ending with, "A certain simple attitude." And I ask Katie G to start us off today.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G, and I am a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. "But this man still lives and is a free man. He does not need a bodyguard, nor is he confined. He can go anywhere on this earth where other free men may go without disaster, provided he remains willing to maintain a certain simple attitude." I'm so grateful for this paragraph. It really is profound. It really is true about my life, that I can go anywhere and I can do anything, provided I maintain that certain simple attitude. I want to bring light to the fact that maintaining means to provide the necessities for life or existence. So this is not like a boring maintenance. This is a maintenance that gives me life. And throughout the book, there are over 23 references to attitude. It says we're going to get a new attitude, a new relationship with God. The promises say my new attitude and outlook will change. Page 150 says they have a new result is a change in attitude towards God. Page 25, they have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. Page 85 says there's a new attitude in us. Page 27 says ideas, emotions, and attitudes that were once the guiding forces of our life are suddenly cast aside and a whole new set of conceptions, motives begin to dominate them. So thanks be to God, for some reason, God has taken my attitude, which means my approach, my demeanor, my mindset, and my mood. He has taken my attitude from my selfish, self-centered, dishonest, and fearful woman, and he has changed me into neutrality with food, and he's changed my thinking and my actions. And I don't do this perfectly. You know, I'm going through something really tremendously hard, like most of us are. And yesterday, it kept hitting me over and over and over again, and I didn't know what to do. So I called my fellows, and I said, how do you bring in God? And that's my attitude today. God, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And I'll tell you what, in the morning, when the mess of me is going in my head, when I first wake up, I don't repeat the mess. I start saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Because my attitude today is, God, how can you teach me? How can I best serve you? Thy will, not mine. It's not like, how can I get thin enough? How can I exercise enough? How can I eat enough? It's about, who can I serve? And, you know, I've been taught in the past 20 years I've been in recovery, every moment is a thank you, God moment. Every moment, even the painful ones. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is learning that life is going to be hard. I thought that it, coming into recovery, it meant hard things wouldn't happen, and they do. But the thing is, today, I want to live through them. I do live through them with all of you, but most importantly, with a relationship with God and neutrality against food, against anorexia and bulimia. So hold on to your seats. This is a phenomenal ride. It's a process and not a destination. With that, I pass.
All right, thanks, Katie. Appreciate that. Now we're going to open up the lines for sharing, and we ask that you limit your share to every third day, please. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please take a step back and allow those who haven't had a chance to share to share. So who would like to share on this?
Rivka R., Baltimore.
Rivka.
Reva P.
Reva.
Lisa C.
Lisa.
Pete B.
Pete.
Susan.
Pete. Donna J. Ohio.
Hold on. Susan, Donna, there was someone around there.
Felicia D.
Tony
D.
Felicia D. And is it Tony B.? Who else?
Nick F.
Nick.
Crystal R.
All right, Crystal. I think this is a pretty good list here.
Michigan, Nick F.
Who was that?
Nick.
Is it Monique you said?
Nick. In Tennessee.
Yeah, Monique. I got you. So we got Rivka R, Reva P, Lisa C, Pete B, Susan S H, Donna K, Felicia D, Tony B, Monique F, Crystal R. All right, Rivka, you're up.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for your service, Russ, and Katie, for your wonderful share, opening share. I love that every moment is a thank you, God moment. This is Rivka R., a recovered compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered in Baltimore. So, yeah, this paragraph is so powerful. This man still lives and is a free man, provided he remains willing to maintain a certain simple attitude. And that certain simple attitude is God is a director. Like, you know, I can go from slavery to freedom many times during the day, like turn toward my ego thinking and, you know, self-centered fear, like I'm in slavery, and then turn toward God and I'm free again. And like that third step, like turning my will and my life over to God's care, is the key to that freedom. Wednesday, I had serious DIA, like dread in advance, like, you know, and I had jury duty yesterday, and I feel embarrassed because I have so much anxiety around it, but I like it just brings up a lot of dread in me, and just going downtown in the subway, and anyway, I'm laying in bed on Wednesday night and trying to sleep, and I realize, you know, I don't have to rely on myself to deal with this dread. And so, you know, I said, God, I'm in your hands, and I asked God to take away the dread, and a silly little jingle came into my head, like, it doesn't matter when or who or what or why, only in God I must rely. And it just, like, said it over and over, and I fell asleep, and God made this whole experience that I was so dreading, like, go so smoothly. I'm like, my gosh, you just, the miracles were just so amazing, and, like, it couldn't have gone better, and you know, in the past, I would have brought bags of stuff to get me through the day, like, because that's how I dealt with life, you know. And I was thinking, like, the most painful thing is to be living but not be alive, and that's what being in the food is for me. Like, I definitely lived to eat and didn't eat to live. Like, the way I ate only suppressed whatever life was available to me. And freedom today means, like, I'm free of this trance that my ego wants me to be in, so that I can't access spiritual truth. I can't access God. And freedom means, like, I have the power of choice to seek out my relationship with God instead of the next candy bar. And freedom means I can hear someone mention a food and not be at the mercy of an obsession that tells me I can't rest until I eat that food. And, you know, it means that being able to make loads of the foods that I don't eat for my family and not care, like, not be deprived, not feel like I want it. Like, I'm so glad that we can, you know, mention foods in this meeting, because I don't think the first AAers, like, refrain from saying beer and wine and whiskey for fear that someone's going to run out and have a drink. And they if they did, then that's just more evidence that, okay, I'll finish with this, that, you know, how much we need this program, and that, you know, it's freedom means being able to be okay to be me and know God, and even with all my imperfections. And I'm just so grateful. So thanks for everybody for being here, and have a blessed day. Pass.
All right. Thanks, Rivka. Next up is Reva P., followed by Lisa C.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. What I'm noticing in this paragraph is the word free is mentioned twice. And also, I'm noticing the contrast between this paragraph and the one we just read above it, where he's utterly hopeless, never, never, never going to regain his position in society, lock and key, hire a bodyguard, and this is a great physician's opinion. And then we have but, not imprisoned, not under a bodyguard, free. And, you know, the enemy was me. There was no bodyguard, lock and key. I could hide and play all kinds of games, but the enemy was me. It was in me. There was no escape. And it's such a great promise and reminder. Okay. If I put down my alcoholic foods, ingredients, behaviors, and do what this book tells me to do, I don't have to do the whole business with the tiger out of the cage. I'm free. I have that neutrality. And it's not just with food. It can be with resentments, fears, whatever defects. And is it a one and done thing? No. In order to stay free, it tells me what I have to do. Because provided is a condition. I have to maintain, and for me, it's not just maintain and, you know, develop, grow. There's no stagnating. This certain simple attitude, and I can't maintain that certain simple attitude, which is, you know, the God thought, the gratitude, whatever it is, unless I continue to do the work and clear the blockages, because the blockages are always in me. So it's a constant doing the work and seeking this power. That helps me with this attitude shift. And I love how it says that the provision is not based on circumstances, because Roland had everything. He was wealthy. He had everything materialistic he could have, and he was miserable. And it tells me, irregardless of circumstances and what other people do or don't do, it's about maintaining this simple attitude and having that God consciousness. And then I'm free. And it's so much more than just freedom with the physical substance and that whole, you know, way of life because of that. So, yeah, what a great reminder. And with that, I pass.
All right, thanks, Reva. Next up is Lisa C., followed by PP.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you, God, for this meeting. Thank you, God, for every moment. Thank you, Katie G., for that. Everyone who makes this meeting happen and everyone who shares, God bless you. I wanted to share because this paragraph made me think about a couple things, like, you know, the unbelievable fulfillment of the promises of this book. You know, it is unbelievable. And, you know, when it happened for me, it just deepened my faith. I came into program with a spiritual life, and my spiritual life, you know, skyrocketed, right? So, you know, just no excuses to give it a try. And it is indeed miraculous, like the book says, that you know, I can do all kinds of things that alcoholics or compulsive overeaters or addicts are not supposed to do. But I love this paragraph so much because it's grounding. And, you know, there's no free lunch. There's no free lunch. I'm using that, obviously, as a, you know, to compare, right? But there's no get out of jail free card. There's no easy way out. But there's the way out that where my system is aligned, right? All parts of myself, my body, mind, and spirit is like, there's no anxiety here, because when I follow the steps, I experience a freedom that was really unimaginable to me in a human experience. Before program. And, you know, some of you know, I lost my mom 2 weeks ago. And I was doing 10 steps at her bedside. And I've continued to do 10 steps as they arise. And I've allowed myself to feel my grief. And then if there's a lingering resentment, mostly the ones that have been coming up have been resentments at myself, right? Regret, remorse, all these things that we are very vigilant about in program. But I do a 10th step and God removes it and then draws me closer to him. And not only do I feel closer to him, but I feel close to the spirit of my mom in a beautiful way that I did not think would be possible. So we must work. I must work. I must be diligent. I must be vigilant. And I must not let up on the program of action because the life of the spirit is so complete and completes me. I'm never going to graduate. I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to actually not be human. And that's why the steps are so wonderful, because they lead me to redemption over and over and over again. And that's a beautiful thing. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Next up is PP, followed by Susan SH.
Thanks, Russ. My name's PP. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Sorry, what's Lisa's initial, the last name?
All right, it's Lisa C., but please, could we refrain from interrupting? Pete, you're in. Go ahead, buddy.
No worries, Russ, man. Thanks for taking the meeting. It's always good to hear you and share it. So, yeah, I love any paragraph or any talk about freedom, you know, because I don't know about anybody else, but I definitely did not perceive this process of recovery, this process of having a spiritual experience, as anything that ever resembled freedom. You know, this idea, this dreadful thought that, you know, my life was going to consist of, you know, hundreds of reach around calls and weighing and measuring my food, and any emotion that I ever had needed to be processed and shared with another human being. You know, to me that didn't sound like freedom. the making a book report at the end of the day about what my day was like and sending it to somebody, you know, that doesn't sound like freedom to me. You know, obviously those things are necessary. Obviously those things are part of the recovery process. But this idea that that was going to be my life until they throw dirt on me was, you know, it's inconsistent with what the literature says is happens as a result of this process, right? Because the result of this process is freedom. The result of this process is being restored to sanity. The result of this process is having is putting our trust and reliance and our dependence where it belongs, which is on God and not on people and not on others, right? As a result of working this process, our faculties get restored and we're able to utilize the instincts and the will that the Creator has put in us, right? And so, you know, there used to be a woman on the line. She used to talk about another woman who talked about Harriet Tubman, who talked about, you know, she would have freed more slaves, but they didn't know they were slaves. And we regularly in the rooms of recovery, both AA and OA, you know, we describe a scenario, you know, and people talk about this thing that they've reached, you know, neutrality with food and they have their emotions in order. And as long as they check in and check out and this, that, and the other thing, and they describe it as freedom. But again, it's inconsistent with what the literature says is going to happen through this process, right? Transformations take place. Men who couldn't walk stand up and walk. Right, and we shouldn't be afraid to express that, like I said, because it's consistent with what our literature says. And if you're not carrying that message, then you're carrying your message. And that's fine and dandy. Experience, strength, and hope is fine and dandy, right? But the message of this of recovery, the message is that we will cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. Sanity will be returned. We'll seldom be interested, and if we are, we'll recoil as from a hot flame. The problem does not exist for us. And that's what the message says. There's no need to change the language in the book so it fits time. Someone else's narrative. There's no need to add punctuation where it doesn't exist. There's no need to call a process an event, right? Freedom, man. Freedom. I love it. Friday, freedom. All right, I'll pass next.
Thanks, Pete. All right, next up is Susan S.H. Before she jumps on, let me let you know where we're at. We are, and there's a solution that's and page 26, the fourth paragraph, but this man still lives, ending with certain simple attitude. All right, Susan, you're up.
Can you please say last initials? Can you please say last initials? Thank you.
Thank you. This is Susan S.H.
All right, Susan. Hit it, Susan.
Got it. Susan S.H. in Ohio, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Happy to discuss freedom. What a gift this man was given. And it's always available to me. It still amazes me. I am free. I can go anywhere. I don't have to limit myself constantly. And limiting myself constantly was the old way of life. When I was deep in the disease, it's what I did. I'm no longer relying on my own human power in everything I do and seeing how inadequate it is and seeing I can't do this. Today, I rely on a higher power. As long as I take this attitude, the attitude is, how can I best serve today? I trust in my higher power. I trust in the steps. They are my directions and guide me right back to my higher power and our fellowship every time. What a celebration of freedom this short little paragraph is. We are blessed with the opportunity to walk a free person anywhere and to take our higher power with us. And we don't have to live in fear and resentment as we did. So, yeah, grateful. Grateful again and grateful to get a chance to share that, my path.
Thanks, Susan. Next up is Donna K, followed by Felicia D.
Hey, good morning. Hi, Donna K from Ohio, recovered and very grateful by the grace of God. Yeah, freedom. Freedom's the word that really caught my eye. I never thought, really honestly, in my wildest dreams that I would ever be able to be unchained from the scale number. I just, you know, I thought that that's all it was about, right? If I hit this ridiculous, you know, walking down the runway numbers, you know, that was not me. It was never going to be me. But being free from the scale number, okay, that has just become another statistic to me as far as I'm concerned. I work the steps deeply. I maintain my spiritual direction. I'm so grateful. I'm just a whole different person. I'm just a whole different person, but it's taken a long time. I guess I just hit a lot of layers, but the program has just, and my higher powers guidance has just made it happen. I'm so very grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Donna. Next up is Felicia D, followed by Tony B.
Good morning. My name is Felicia D, is in New York from Rhode Island. And I'm just kind of in awe listening to everyone and thinking about this today. I think, you know, when I came into OA in 1991 and for most of the time since then, when I thought of freedom, my first thought, I was hopeless and I would never feel it. And then second, I think, you know, I worshiped abstinence. And so for me, if I was to imagine freedom, it would be neutrality. But I didn't really understand the steps, even though I was trying. Someone earlier, and I'm not going to say this right, but said something about like the veil being lifted. And even when I was actively trying, I was so me trying focused that I couldn't really fathom what could possibly happen. And this time, in working the steps with this sponsor and working the way that she's laid out, I've been so busy that I haven't, this is so funny, but I actually haven't had enough time to think, which has been such freedom, because I obsessively think, and the freedom of just doing the next thing on the list has been has provided a freedom from myself, even in the very beginning, and given space for this higher power to come in so that I can start to experience some freedom, especially from fear. You know, if I think back to even being 6 years old and I'll be 55 next month, you know, I've always been paralyzed and traumatized with fear from trauma. And to be able to have the steps and access God to give me this freedom that people are talking about that I'm experiencing, I can't even really put it into words, is just so miraculous to me. And I'm just so profoundly grateful. Grateful to Bill, grateful to Bob, grateful to all the people, grateful to the sponsor and her way of doing it, grateful for the grace of God that helped me to say yes when at any other point in time in my life I would have said no. And for her vigilance so that if I start to veer off, she calls me out. And for this way to show up for my family differently and to spread recovery in my attitude with my family instead of continuing to overspill disease onto them. Thank you. And I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Felicia. Next up is Tony B, followed by, I believe it's Monique F.
Thanks, Russ. My name's Tony B, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Very grateful to be here. And this is a great paragraph, but still this man lives and is a free man. He does not need a bodyguard, nor is he confined. I felt mad, out of control. You know, I felt unable, almost like to contain my soul. It was, I was a fragmented person, definitely. And there were times when I felt I wanted a bodyguard. I wanted to be confined. You know, put me away, help me. I could not manage my life. And I was desperate to be helped. You know, I called out, help me, to family and doctors with in all sorts of ways. And here, this paragraph is pointing at an absolute miracle. And to me, it reads like a miracle. And it affects my body with the hairs rising on my arms, as a miracle does. So I can go without disaster today. And most importantly for me, this is my emotional sobriety. I can go about and not be a mad woman so selfishly wanting what she wants and, you know, causing upset. And who is it disaster for? Well, to be honest, mostly myself, my soul, my spirit, and the emotional fallout of my reactionary behavior. Certainly a disaster for my spiritual connection. But, and if I maintain a certain spiritual attitude, a simple attitude rather, sorry, that God is everything and that I can trust him entirely, and if I continue to watch for selfishness and clean house and help others, I can live in a new and wonderful world, and I can live as a free woman and participate in life and not feel like disaster is always just around the corner. And for that, I am hugely grateful, and I'll share the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Next up is Monique F., followed by Crystal R.
Hi, y'all. This is Nick F. in Tennessee, compulsive overeater. My sponsor, my vision sponsor, so around about in February, I started working with a person that was coming to vision as my sponsor. And one of the questions she asked me was, how free do you want to be? See, I had already given away 220 pounds by the time I got here. I was already going to meetings. I was already sharing in meetings, making double-digit outreach calls in one day, double-digit amounts of meetings in 1 week, you know. And I did what I had to do to stay alive. And now coming here, I'm finding out in my living, I very much need to be alive, and I don't get to be in control just because I gave some weight away. I don't get to be in control just because I got a promotion on my job or I'm in a relationship with a beautiful woman and I got custody of my kids. None of these accolades give me permission to now be in control. And I guess I'm kind of struggling with that. And, you know, after struggling with food for 33 years, it's baffling to me that the food can be so clean and where it needs to be that I can have a struggle with anything else. And it's so amazing and astonishing that you really can be a free person. I can go to my son's baseball game and not have to go to the concession stand 20 times. You know, that's a form of bondage. You want to see your kid play baseball, but you miss the game because you got to go to the concession stand about 50 times. You know, and so bondage, I have been locked up in a sane asylum. It's been 6 years since I stopped using alcohol and pills. Not a lot of people get locked up because of cheeseburgers and cupcakes, but you drink Jack Daniels on top of Adderall, and you'll find yourself locked up. And I didn't intend to be so emotional, but I'm not sure about my time, but I will say that this is something powerful. Vision for you. Yes, it's a healthy OA meeting. It's something powerful. The first lady started off with every day is a thank God day or something to that effect. And the other guy said it's not so much about experience, faith, and hope. It's about the words in this book, word for word, piece by piece. I don't got to make no shit up. this is life changing, and I'm so thankful God saw fit to bring me into this space. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Monique. Next up is Crystal R, and then we'll take another list.
Good morning. This is Crystal R, recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. When I read this paragraph, what it really reminded me of was just when I first put down the food, and it was so hard for me. It was so hard to watch other people eat, not just watch them eat foods that were alcoholic for me, but to watch them eat while I was not eating. Like when I was done with my food and they just continued eating on, because apart from my alcoholic food behaviors of eating in between meals was probably one of the harder ones to put down. And I remember this one time, because every time I was at a restaurant with family or friends, I would actually have to get up and leave. Like when they continued eating or eating their dessert, I would have to get up and leave because it was just so hard for me right at the beginning. And then I remember this one time I was at a restaurant with my friends, and we finished eating our meals and they ordered dessert, and we're sitting and chatting, and then suddenly my friends start taking all their menus and making putting the menus around me, like making like a little wall around me. And I remember kind of going like, guys, what are you doing? Why are you making a wall of menus? And they're like, well, our dessert's coming, so we're trying to make like a little wall so you can't see us eat it. And I remember thinking like, don't be silly, like just eat your dessert, I don't care. And that was the first time I stopped, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I actually don't care. I don't want that stuff anymore. And last year, I remember, I was actually going wedding cake shopping with my mom and my sister, which meant we were going to like a cake store. Like this is just the place where all of it, like it's just all over the place. And before I went, I can't even remember what was happening, but I was crying for most of the day before that. I was really upset. And we get to the wedding cake store and we walk in, and my mom and sister, their immediate words are like, whoa. I was like, what happened? And they're like, can you not smell that? Like you just, the moment they walked in there, like you just get hit with the smell of like just sugar, you know? And I didn't smell a thing. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And that's when it hit me. It's like, oh my gosh, God has changed my nostrils. It's not even just that this doesn't bother my mind. Like my whole body is different. My nose doesn't even smell it. And I sat there and I watched them eat while I was not eating, and I happily took notes, and everything was just like pretty decor to me. And the best part about this was, I'm not trying. This is not me. All I did was I put down the food behaviors, the food quantities. I worked the steps, and then God just, I now have a relationship with God that works, and God transformed me, transformed my mind and my body. And the freedom from food and alcoholic behaviors was just the beginning, because today I'm free of my alcoholic thinking, because everything is not about me and everything's not on me. I have a God, and God has got me and takes care of me. So I can feel the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows, everything in between. I can do things that are hard, boring, wonderful, exciting, all the human experiences, and I can just be okay. All of that because of recovery. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Crystal. All right, now we're going to open up the line for sharing again. And if you shared, like we said on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Let me let you know where we're at. We get going. It's There's a Solution page. Hold on.
Oh,
one
sorry.
Second. There's a Solution page 26, the fourth paragraph, but this man still lives. And we're just reading that one paragraph. So we got Tina S. Who else?
Christina J.
Christina.
Donna M.
Okay, Donna. I think that's, we're going to go with that, Christina J. We're going to do three and see where we're at. And then if we can take more, we'll definitely take more. All right, thank you. Tina, you're up.
Thanks so much, Russ. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, what a wonderful meeting, and for such a short paragraph, but so, so pertinent, you know, for my recovery today, especially the last sentence, you know, provided he remains willing to maintain a certain simple attitude. You know, and I too, you know, never thought coming here and having to do this deal that I would be free, because that's one of my favorite words, because it's the way that I feel as it has to do with my food addiction, my alcoholism, and all that stuff. You know, today, you know, I can go anywhere on this earth, you know, without disaster, you know. And, you know, I too am involved in several different 12-step programs. So, you know, there's all kind of celebration. And, you know, today, you know, I am just free. You know, I was at a step study last night and we're talking, you know, we're going through the steps again on in a different fellowship, you know, the powerlessness. And, you know, I too have to share with these people, you know, my powerlessness over the food stuff, you know, and I've been really blessed by having the opportunity when I share that with other people and other programs to be able to help, to have them, you know, let people know that have this problem, you know, call me if they need to, you know, and it's just such a gift. And I never thought that I'd be like that. You know, I too am one that, you know, I go to places where, you know, there's bakery stuff, there's all kind of stuff that, you know, are my alcoholic foods. And I have, you know, and I am so grateful, and I have, you know, no desires, you know, get what you want, people, you know, that's not for me, you know, because I cannot eat it the way that you're eating it, you know, for sure. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. I just had to say that, you know, what a great meeting. What a great meeting today. I'm just so blessed to be here. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina. Next up is Christina J., followed by Donna M.
Hey, Russ. Christina J. in North Carolina. This paragraph says a lot to me. I always think of the phrase from a well-known song, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And until I die, I'll probably have more of me, more of my lower self to lose. And what helps me do that is this program, maintaining that attitude. And I looked up the attitude, manner, disposition, feeling, with regard to a person or thing, tendency or orientation, especially of the mind, right? So I'm going to maintain a certain attitude towards this program, towards working this program, keeping a positive. I'm not always positive. I have hard days. I'm fatigued. I'm tired. I don't want to call people. I just want to go to bed. I have body pain. You know, it's not always the sunlight of the spirit day for me, but that's life, right? And these are things that take time to get over. It takes time to really, at least this is my experience, and another person said, it takes time to really get the full promises. Now, I've got neutrality today, but unless I maintain that attitude, unless I say the attitude of this is the work I got to do today, I'm going to stay positive about it. I'm not going to let the negativity about having to make calls, do 10 steps, you know, write to God, whatever I have to do, I'm tired, I'm not going to let that get in the way. I maintain a positive attitude, an attitude of I'm going to do it anyway, because I need my freedom, which to me is a double-edged sword, because I can be free from the food, but not free from self. And isn't that what this book is about? Getting free from self. The self is what I use the food for, because I was uncomfortable, irritable, restless, discontent. Give me the damn food, you know, I need something to calm this down. And I didn't even know I was using it for emotions. I knew that after emotional upheaval, I would want to eat. After being really happy and finding out good news, after being really sad, after the death of my husband, after my divorce, you know, I was managed to just want to eat and eat and eat. It's almost like the high from the drama goes down, and I want something to bring me back up. Of course, there's all kinds of studies out there on dopamine, serotonin, you know, all these stuff that bad foods take away from our brain. So one thing very important for me to help me stay free is a solid nutritional plan that gives me everything I need, and I get that from a nutritionist. That helps me stay free. That helps me not want the crap. But this program, working on the self, that crazy, insane person that was imprinted with all kinds of wrong ideas and lies when I was a child, you know, that I couldn't be loved, that I was no good, that I had to try and try and try and beat myself to hell in order to get attention and love so I could prove myself. That's a lie. God loves me, and I can just love myself today.
Time.
I love myself today. because of this program and connecting with God, and that I have, I'll finish up with this group of fellows here that loves me too, and I love you guys. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Christina. Next up is Donna M., and I think we'll be able to take, I don't know, it's going to be tight. So, Donna, you're up.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Donna M. from near Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And what this short sentence says to me is that we may go without disaster. So that word disaster seems to be implying that disaster from picking up our addictive substances. So disaster from picking up the food. But I also think it means disaster, which I used to create. I could create, and I don't have to, when I'm dealing with life, I don't have to make it into a disaster. No matter what happens, I can match calamity with serenity. And that simple attitude that you're talking about is to know that I need the two powers. I need the power of the fellowship, and I need the power of the spiritual awakening, the spiritual experience that comes through the 12 steps. And the fellowship helps me to maintain, to continue to work the steps. So I continue to have a connection with my higher power. And so I'm grateful to be recovered today, coming up on 4.5 years, and so, so grateful. Thank you, and I pass.
All right there, Donna. So we actually have time for one more share. Who would like
Kelly
to take that? All right, Kelly.
Alexis.
Kelly, go ahead.
All right. Hey, guys. Hey, Russ. Thanks for your service. Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Oh, gosh, what a powerful meeting. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your shares and hope. This is a message of depth and weight. I've always needed this my whole life, and finally find that a simple, certain attitude, right? What is that? I don't have the power. I don't have the power. But today I know that God is my power, and that's what this whole process is about. Freedom isn't free, right? It's not free. There's work to be done. And, you know, it's like I've always wanted God to zap me. I wanted to be free from the food, freedom from bondage of self, and that's not how this works. I heard a speaker say, you know what? God is not going to do it to me or for me. God is going to do it with me and through me. So I got to put down the food, right? I got to take the action. I got to work the steps, and I got to get this connection. So it's not just about freedom from food. We hear all these people sharing. What hope? If you guys have been around forever like me, what freaking hope? You mean I can go places and be free from food? Yes, that's possible. But the biggest thing is all the stuff that's been shared about that new attitude of life, freedom from the bondage of self, learning to show up different and not be enslaved, right? And yes, what a gift that today I can be an active participant with my grandkids and take marshmallows off their things when they're making s'mores and not want to eat that. I've had them sitting on my lap when all I could think about was food and didn't care. It's freaking awful bondage. But today I also live in another place of just peace. And it's hard. This is hard stuff sometimes doing life, as I said. Life is life, human experience. I'm not good at this. But today, the simple, certain attitude is I don't have power. God is my power, but I got work to do. So with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kelly. We actually have time for a minute and a half share.
Alexis F.
All right, Alexis, go for it.
Thank you. I was a sponge for immorality or anything that wasn't good for me. If somebody took a drink, I took a drink and flew over fences to prove that I couldn't take a drink. If somebody wanted to eat pizza and ice cream and whatever, sure, I'll go along with you. I had no boundaries. And God, through His grace, has given me those boundaries with people where I can say, no, that is not me. I am a compulsive overeater. I am an alcoholic. I am a compulsive smoker. I am mentally ill. I have this disability. God has also given me recently the grace of gratitude, the attitude of gratitude. And I think that's the biggest component of my metamorphosis. And I live with my daughter, and there's not a little thing that she does for me that I don't say thank you for, because I'm so grateful to have her. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis. You're going to be our last share, and we thank everyone who shared today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour immediately after the closing. Now, the share ID got a little jammed up today. We're going to have two share IDs because we had some tech difficulty there. So for like the first 10, 15 minutes, the share ID is 21,506, 21506, and the remainder of the meeting is 21,507, 21507. All right, and we will now close the reading with the reading from Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I'm going to ask Loretta H. to receive, I'm going to ask Loretta H. to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestible.
Thank you, Russ, and thank you all along with my precious God. You are saving my life, Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. Okay, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if you're a little conscious in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact of abandoning yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults and to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you reach the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. God bless all.